Philippians chapter 4, just verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, my subject tonight can be considered by some, and maybe even some in the room tonight would consider it to be trivial. In fact, it's far from trivial, and it's a very important subject, one that we need to take to heart and something that we need to deal with in our own personal Christian lives. And the subject is the ungodly influence of worldly music. The ungodly influence of worldly music. Now, there are no thou shalt nots in the Bible about secular music. You can search the Bible through. You see, the reason for that is that it was not a problem in those days. In fact, it wasn't a problem even in recent history, when we think of hundreds of years. It only became a real problem in the 50s, late 50s and the 60s, when music began to change from being an accompaniment to words, and now that the words are almost drowned out, and now it's the music that is the most important thing. Back then, the words were the most important thing. Now, I understand that even then the words can be corrupt, but the music today is the overriding factor of the music industry today and what people listen to. We know that anything this world produces usually degenerates into evil, doesn't it? Everything this world touches, no matter how good it originally started off to be, ends up being evil. And music in all its forms, every form of music, no matter what it is, from the worst possible music that you can think of, what commonly is called music, which isn't, but just noise, to maybe orchestral music, it's simply a chain of sounds strung together. But it's how those sounds are used that makes it either holy or sinful. So we have to ask ourselves, in light of the text that we've just read, if the message of popular music is pure and created to honour God. Tell me, one popular singer today, I'm talking about secular music at the moment, we're going to move on to Christian music later on, but for the moment, name me one secular artist that honours God, that their music, that their lyrics are pure and designed to edify you. The Lord is concerned about what we fill our minds with. We can fill our minds with what we see, with what we touch, and with what we hear. And I think we live in a day when sight, seeing things is, yeah, important, but people are more likely to listen today. You know, listen to music wherever you go today. There's somebody, even old people today, have got earphones on and listening to iPods or MP3 players or maybe even on their phone. And the Lord is concerned about what we listen to, because it either makes us or breaks us. It either edifies us or destroys us. Almost all secular music encourages impure thoughts and actions. I say almost because, you know, in the past there were those songs that, you know, were never designed to make, to denigrate God, to malign the Bible or Christ, and to speak about disgusting, lustful things. I mean, we all used to laugh, didn't we, when Max Bygraves used to sing about "You Need Hands," or Ken Dodd used to sing the song "Happiness." And you know, even in that song, he put the word "God" in there. I mean, it's unheard of today to do something like that. Therefore, music should be used by believers. The type of music we listen to should only be used if it is to edify us and to progress us in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, before I go any further, you may say to yourself, well, there are times when you just can't help to listen to worldly music. Now, let me tell you something. You can hear worldly music, but you don't have to listen to it. I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that. Have you ever been in a situation, and I know you have, where someone's been talking to you, you've been hearing them, but then you've had to say, what did you say? You weren't listening. You heard, but you didn't listen. Remember when you first started driving? Well, I was told by the instructor, don't just look, see. And it's the same thing. You might go into a store and they're playing music. You can't help that. But you don't have to listen to it. There may be a commercial on TV. You hear it, but you don't have to listen. And so, in the same way with worldly music, we can't be out of the world. We're in the world. We've got to interact with the world. But we don't have to become like the world. We don't have to speak like them, behave like them, listen to things like as they do, or watch what they watch. Now, first of all, it's my belief that secular music dishonours God. And I must begin here with secularised Christians. Christians have become worldly, right? They will say to you, and I've heard it said to me, let me put it this way, they come up with arguments why they have the freedom to listen to worldly music. They say things like, oh, God doesn't mind. God doesn't mind about that. But in doing so, they are resisting the will of the Lord for them. We should fill our spirits with that which is spiritual, not that which is corrupt, not that which is carnal. It's impossible for polluted water and pure water to come from the same fountain. So how can Christians listen to polluted music, the music of the world? It's polluted. It's not of God, is it? Is God in it? Has God ordained it? Has it been created to honour God? There's not a shred of it that is of God. James said, doth not a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? So it's my view that whatever we do as Christians, we should do for the glory of God. Now here it is. Surely no one can argue with that, and no true Christian would argue against that, that we should do everything for the glory of God. Therefore, if you wouldn't do it, if Jesus was physically in the room, bodily in the room with you, then you shouldn't do it, even though you can't see his spiritual presence. Whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That covers everything. Do all to the glory of God. If you can't give God the glory through it, then you shouldn't do it. If God is not glorified by what you're listening to, then you shouldn't be listening to it. Is he ever glorified by the lyrics of the majority of songs created today? Absolutely not. In fact, there are very few songs on the market. Now, you might think, well, how do you know that? Do you listen to all the music? Of course I don't. But I've listened to enough of the past to know that it hasn't changed today. And I've heard snippets enough to know that nothing's changed. But the majority of songs today on the market are full of immorality, vulgarity, and self-glorification. There's only really one subject of worldly songs today, isn't there? Boy, girl, and the rest that goes with that. Nothing more. Yeah, I know you get these novelty songs now and again that are meaningless and just a bit of rubbish. But I'm saying the majority of them are contained within one subject. Be honest with yourself, with the music that we may listen to, worldly music. Does it draw you close to God? Does it make you want to live a sanctified life? But fornication and all uncleanness and or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become of saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Everything we do should bring praise and honour and glory to God. And I don't say this lightly, but the piper will always have to be paid for the music he plays to us. What we listen to will either make us or break us. It will edify us or destroy us. What I'm saying is that there are consequences to what we say, what we do, and yes, what we think and listen to. Of course we got the freedom to listen to worldly music. I don't deny that fact. We have that freedom. But if it doesn't honour Christ, it will be to the detriment of our souls. We have the freedom to disobey God. We have the freedom to go and sin, don't we? We have the freedom to do exactly what we want to do. But it is always to the destruction of our relationship between us and God, or God and us. Now, God created music. This is the wonderful thing about it. God created music. Therefore, what I'm saying to you is that music is not something that we can... It's not like a film. And I'm not saying films are okay. It's not like a film. Because they just tell a story and you finish and that you go about your business. But music has got a habit of getting inside you. There are songs I hate. There are jingles I hate on the TV, on commercials. For instance, We Buy Any Car. I hate that. I wish it was wiped off the face of the earth. And Go Compare and all that. I hate those things because I think they're so stupid and silly. And yet, but they've got the habit of getting in because I've heard people singing them. Now, I'm not knocking that. All I'm saying to you is that it gets in. Music gets in. The jingles get in. The songs get in. And I've been amazed in the past where I've heard, not children here, but children say, oh, the songs are too hard. We can't learn them. We can't learn the memory verses. But then I've heard them on the doorstep singing worldly songs. They know all the lyrics. Now, why is that? Because the music's getting into it. Because it's a spiritual thing. Music is spiritual. It's different from every other media. It's different from reading in a book. It's different from watching a film. It's different from any other activity. Music is spiritual and it affects our spirit, soul and body. Why? Because Satan knows that he can corrupt this God-given gift, this wonderful thing that God has given, to rob God of the glory. If you read Ezekiel chapter 28, you know, you'll find that Lucifer, Satan was originally called Lucifer, and he had him built into him a sound system. He had pipes and all the things that could make music. One of God's glorious creatures. So, you see, since his fall from grace and since he sinned and rebelled against God, he's well equipped to deceive the world through unholy sounds. What is it that makes people rebellious today, especially teenagers? It's been happening since the 50s and 60s. Music. Music is behind them. I remember a song from many years ago. I think it could have been Rolling Stones or somebody like that. You correct me if I'm wrong. Which talks about rebellion, about not going to school, about rebelling against authority. And we see this all the way through life today, that people will have this music to back the rebellion against society, against their parents and all the rest. And you know, don't you, it gets on your nerves when people are blasting loud music. But you see, it's just an act of rebellion. they know they can use that music as a weapon because it's in them. So we have to be very careful with what we listen to. It would be a very brave, worldly believer indeed who would claim that the Holy Spirit inspires secular music. I may have told you this once before, but I know in the Talks of Tabernacle a number of years ago, our church were, well, me in particular, were lambasted by them because we didn't like Cliff Richard's songs. You know, it just shows how foolish and fickle they are. While on the surface, music comes from our thoughts, from man's thoughts, philosophy and emotions. In fact, secular music, popular music today, is created by the devil and not by God. You see, there can only be two sources, can there not? God and the devil. There's no in-between here. And there's no sharing of the media. You know, God doesn't share this music with the devil. The devil doesn't share his music with God. So it can only come from one or two sources. There's no middle ground. There's no mediator between the two. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that we haven't really got a choice. We're even listening to the songs of God or the songs of the world. So can any sanctified believer listen to music that promotes ungodliness and that which is dedicated to the devil? If its source is not from heaven, then we have no business listening to it at all. If you and I are new creatures in Christ Jesus, then it follows that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We don't want the trash of the world. We already had that. We've already experienced that. We've all sang the silly love songs, I suppose. But we don't want that anymore. And the love of the world is just lust anyway. We should renounce and refuse to renounce it and refuse to listen to secular music again. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm saying to you tonight that you and I should not own secular music. If you've got any tapes, videos, DVDs, whatever format it might be in, you should simply junk it. You don't sell it on. You don't give it away. You get rid of it. Exactly the way the people did in the book of Acts with the ungodly books, with the witchcraft books. They took them outside and they burned them. And I'm not asking you to have a bonfire, but these things are easily destroyed so that nobody else can get to them. God will give us the grace to overcome any desire to fill our hearts and minds with rubbish. And he will give us the desire to walk in holiness. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, it should go without any argument that secular music is wrong. We don't listen to those people. I remember, I didn't know any different at the time, but soon I found out there was obviously something different and I didn't want any part of it. But the first church I ever went to, one guy there, he was one of the leaders of the youth group, and he used to promote, because he liked the guy, all the records at the time, they were, you know, records, the vinyls, of Elton John. Oh, wonderful singer, and you know, but just look at who this man is. You see, you promote something, you can destroy weak believers through giving them something that is of the world. And how many people, I wonder, were destroyed because of that? I came to realise soon that this was wrong and I didn't want any part of it. I didn't want the worldly music. And I have a distaste for worldly music today. I hate going to a shop and this music blasting. Silly songs. It angers me. And usually it's blasting, so you're not given a chance to think. You know, it's just seeming to bombard you with this sound. But then I need to go to the second part of my study tonight, and that is, what about Christian music? Now, you and I would have to be extremely naive to acknowledge, to acknowledge that the secular influence of worldly music, the unholy influence of worldly music, is also in some Christian music today. It must be pointed out that today, and I've heard it, I've been in the Christian bookshops and I've bought songs myself and then realised, you know, this is not good. That the sounds are so loud that you can't hear the lyrics. You have to get the cover and find out what they're actually singing there. Or you go on the internet and say, what are those words? Because you just can't hear the words. The music is so loud. The guitars, the drums and all the rest of it is so loud that you can't hear the lyrics. Well, my view is this, that there must be a reason for hiding the lyrics behind the music. Up until relatively recently, the music was there to accompany the words. Someone would get up to sing maybe in one of these places and someone would get on the piano, but it wasn't blasting. You wanted to hear the words because the words were meaningful. If you got a message, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it behind trashy music, banging drums, and the rest of it. You might say, well, that's really old-fashioned. It may be. It may be. But how far are we going to go in society? How far is music going to go where everything is just a clanging cymbal? But somebody likes that clanging cymbal. Somebody likes that din and noise. And you've got no right to say that is not of the Lord. And I've seen it, I've predicted it over the years. I remember when rap music first came out. And I said at the time, I bet you Christians take this up. And it wasn't many months later where Christians took it up. Remember a few years ago, the high school musical that was on. And I remember saying, I bet you Christians do something. And of course now, it's been out for a few years now itself. Sunday school the musical. You see, they've got to copy the world. And why are they doing that? Haven't they got holy things to do? Why do we have to imitate the world when we've got the things of God? Remember this, we've got the purity. They haven't. So why should we be trying to take what they've got? They've got nothing to give us, nothing to offer us. I looked on the internet. I'm not going to give you names because it's not my, I don't want to do it. But there are, I want you to just listen. If you listen, I've got Christian music, listen. There are whole Christian albums, and not just one, not just two, very popular Christian artists, whole albums, and they do not mention God, the Bible, Jesus, heaven, or anything else to do with God. Not one syllable. Now, surely there's something wrong there, isn't there? So what are they singing about? Well, they're singing about how great they are, how wonderful they are. And you know something? Well, they must be Christians, you know, because they sing about love. That is the most deceptive word in the music industry today, love. Especially in the Christian music industry, they use the word love. But it's being used in a way that is not righteous. God is love, so talk about God. Jesus loved us, so why not talk about Jesus? Someone once asked, again, I won't tell you the person's name, but it's a very, very popular statement. Someone once asked, why should the devil have all the good music? Why should the devil have all the good music? Analyze that statement. It's quoted quite a lot. Especially if you talk to young people and say, you know, you really shouldn't be listening to, oh, you know, why should the devil have all the good music? It needs analysing. you know, because it's full of ungodliness. The devil's got no good music. Think about it. I mean, logically, the devil has no good music. If the devil's got good music, then go and listen to it. Because he should be glorifying God. But he doesn't. The instruments, the rhythm, the melody, the harmony, the lyrics in Christian music should never mimic the world. It doesn't have to be a noise. You know, I'm tired of Christian music that, and you know, it's been designed like disco music, dance music, breakdance music, rock music, and all the rest of it. And they were even in the 80s punk rock Christians, you know, totally evil, and yet being sold by the Christian music people. We don't need the filth of the world. We don't need the filth that the world produces, because we've got the music of God in our hearts. Am I saying to you not to listen to Christian music? Of course not. But what I'm saying to you is that don't just hear the music, but listen to it. Or I should say, listen to the words. What are they talking about? Are they glorifying God? Now, of course, there are some Christian music I just don't like. And that's just a matter of course. I mean, there's probably music I've got that you wouldn't like. You know, you'd giggle and laugh. Oh, well, I wonder why. You know, I couldn't listen to that kind of music. It's a bit old-fashioned, or it's a bit this, or, you know, I'm not talking about the genre of the music. What I'm saying is, what is being said? Can you hear what's being said in the first place? What is being said? What is being taught? And is it edifying? The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a nice statement, isn't it? Making melody in your heart to the Lord. So even though I've got quite a lot of Christian music, I don't own any unsaved music. Even though I've got quite a lot of Christian music, I find that I don't really listen to it that often. But you know, as Christians, God has built within us melody. We can create our own music. We don't need to plug something into our ears, turn on the radio, put a CD in the player. We've already got it in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. But you see that the point for that text, let the word of Christ, teaching and admonishing, and it's done through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, or let me just say music, the lyrics and the music. When it's holy, it's inspiring. It will uplift you. It would edify you. Music has always played an important part in the things of God. Right from Genesis chapter 31:27, we find music. And it was often, as in Exodus chapter 31, linked with dancing. People would dance when the Lord's music was played. And we can't forget David, can we? The sweet psalmist of Israel, who organised a choir and an orchestra for the temple, the worship in the temple. I know there are Christians, I've met them. I mean, they were older when I was younger, if you know what I mean. And, they didn't like the guitar. But then I remember reading, you know, people in John Wesley's day didn't like any type of musical instrument. The piano was the instrument of the devil at one point. So it's not the instrument. It's the way it's used and for whose glory And you see, when you see these Christian artists prancing up and down on a stage, who are they glorifying when they do that? They're getting everyone to look at them. You see, when someone stands up to sing, they should stand up and sing, not have all the dramatics to call attention to themselves, not dance around the stage because you're only saying, look at me, keep your eyes on me. If the eyes go off of you, the eyes go off of the artist and unto God, if it's to glorify God. Even the last book of the Bible gives us some insights into music. I like that one phrase, I like many phrases, but there's one phrase that always stays in my mind. I think it's kind of humorous, but it's nice. The harpers harping with the harps. You know, it's just such a wonderful turn of phrase. Harpers harping with the harps. You know, I'm sure in heaven there'll be guitarists guitaring with the guitars. You know, and it's all for the glory of God. And that is the point. They worship the Lord. In the Bible, you do not find anywhere, not one scrap of evidence of anyone playing music, the world's music, for the glory of God. It just didn't happen. Of course, they didn't live in a day when they had artists by the ton, selling albums by the score. You know, we don't realise what I'm saying to you. It wasn't an industry, so nobody was making money out of it. And people would love to gather, especially in Bible days, gather around and listen to the Lord's songs. A little bit like as the programmes we've watched about the Amish would get together at night and sing. You know, sing unto the Lord. Where has that gone? The bottom line with reference to Christian music is, does it honour and glorify God? In fact, the same question for secular music should be asked for Christian music too, or so-called Christian music. Does it draw you into a closer relationship with the Lord? There are many godly Christian artists who have dedicated their lives to serving the Saviour and have not adopted the putrid undertones of the world. They kept themselves pure. I know they have to make a living or two. I would never come against that. But the music is holy. The music's righteous. And even if you don't agree with the theology of some of the singers, when you listen to their songs, except for maybe some minor points of theology, you say, well, you know, they are actually honouring God here. So why can't we have that instead of the rubbish? The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means there's no excuse for taking time out and listening to the music of the flesh. So there is no thou shalt not in Scripture. But I think I've given you enough evidence tonight from other places to show that yes, there's no thou shalt not. You know, it doesn't say there are no shalt nots about doing lots of things in life, driving a car, going on an airplane. You know, there aren't any, are there? But that does, because there aren't any thou shalt not for those particular things, doesn't mean that you've got the liberty to do it. You know, all I'm pointing out there is that you can't use that as an excuse. If it doesn't glorify God, but I must ask this question, is listening to secular music a sin? My answer to that is, if it does not glorify God, if it encourages faithlessness and ungodliness, if it puts your mind on things of the flesh, of love relationships between boy and girl, then yes, it's sinful. It's a sin. Why, this is my closing thought, why waste money and time on that which will pollute and destroy your soul, my soul? Why waste your money? Why waste your time listening to it? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Music is spiritual, and there's no problem with music, but make sure it is spiritually sound. That way we'll keep our spiritual lives intact. If we own any, I think you should just be bold and destroy it. Get rid. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Honour God by doing what God wants. And just like Job, which I was reading of today, God blessed him abundantly. He lost a lot, but God blessed him much more in return. God will give you the music in your soul in place of the music of this world.